Recently, one of the men that I see in prison regularly had asked, how can I pay attention better and how can I remember what I read or what I pray? He complained that it seemed like he forgot it so soon afterwards, and he wondered if it was doing any good. And a couple days ago, I talked about how he was answered partially by one of his brothers, who said something very wise and very pastoral and patristic about preparation for prayer. But we talked a lot more than just that answer. And we talked about how if anything hinders your prayer, then you won't remember it, and it won't be very powerful. Also, the same thing for reading. So what kind of things hinder prayer? Well, in a prison environment, it's not really much different than the world, except it's more intense and more potential for violence. But other than that, you still got everything going on. It doesn't stop. You don't have a break from it. The noise is constant. The irritations are constant. Some of them are because the institution is just an institution, and that's how institutions are. Some of them are because there are people that purposely try to make trouble, either guards or inmates. And so there's always something going on. There's always drama, and it's always loud, and the schedules are crazy. And then there's also the fact that you got your own thoughts, and perhaps you're angry against a guard because he's been unfair, or judging an inmate because of their behavior, or things are not going well because of various things in your life. And if we're irritated, if we're judgmental, if we're dissatisfied with our life, our sins in general, they make it very difficult for us to have prayer that has any power whatsoever. And certainly, if we don't forgive, actively forgive people in our life and in our past as well, then our prayer is of no effect at all. I mean, that's very clear from the gospel, where the Lord says, if you have an offering at the altar and you have something against your brother, leave that offering and go be reconciled with your brother first. So we talked about things like that. And lo and behold, in my daily reading, I've been reading John, and I came to chapter 16 today, and it had this marvelous thing that made me think right away about this problem. He's in his great discourse to his disciples before his passion, and he says in verse 4 of chapter 16, "But I have said these things to you in order that whenever the hour should come, you may remember what I said, that I said them to you." What a wonderful thing. His disciples didn't remember when the hour came. At least when that first hour came, when he was taken away to judgment. They were afraid. They were confused. You can see after the resurrection, they were still confused. The day of the resurrection, they were quite confused. And even at other times, because one of the evangelists says, and they worshipped him, but some doubted. So this remembering must have happened for all of them, but at different times and in different places and when they needed to remember. If we do something for the love of God, it will never, ever be wasted. It will never be fruitless. We might not remember what we've read. We might not feel very edified by what we've prayed. But the Lord has spoken things to us in those groanings that cannot be uttered by the Holy Spirit. And when it is the right time, we will become aware of what we need to be aware of. The same idea is present a little bit further on in his discourse, when he says, "Yet I have many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them just now." There's a lot of stuff that goes on in our lives, God touching us, but we don't feel it, or we don't understand it, but eventually we do. And so I think that's part of why we have problems with our prayer.
problems with our reading, where we don't remember it, our prayer doesn't feel very powerful, or we feel forgetful, because we're not able to bear it just now. We don't have the capacity to hold on to all of the grace of God that He desires to give to us and say to us. So, what are we to do? I don't know of any solutions except three. One is, of course, we must forgive and we must try to live according to the gospel. Now, we do this according to our abilities, so it's either good or bad or not so good, and we get better at it. But whether we do it poorly or whether we do it well, we must try. And God will give grace to those who try. We also must read the Psalms and read the gospel and struggle to read them with expectation. Read them like like Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus, or like the centurion who said, "Just speak a word and my servant shall be healed." Our heart should be saying to the Lord, "Just speak a word and my soul will be healed." Whether or not we understand the word, whether or not we remember the word will not go away empty. We must believe that absolutely. And then also, we must pray. Whether we pray well or pray badly, we must pray. If we struggle to pray, God will help us. And those things, forgiving people, praying, and reading the gospel with expectation, indeed, we will become able to bear the things that the Lord wants to give to us. And we will remember the things that He has said to us in the right time, in the right place. So one other thing in prison that people are particularly susceptible to, and also in the world, but prison is more numbing than the world on some levels. On some levels, it's not. But in this way, it's very numbing. There's an awful lot of suffering in prison. There's an awful lot of poverty in prison. Ignorance in prison. And it's important to never allow yourself to become numb to that. You can't become numb to the needs of others. Even if they're jerks, even if they're morons, even if they're enemies, you can't become immune to feeling great sorrow that they are in need and that their needs, their true needs, are not being fulfilled. If we have soft hearts and feel deeply that people are suffering and beg the Lord to help them, then indeed our prayer will become fruitful and our lives will become fruitful.